Today is the feast of St. Matthew. It's also the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. So the Second Oration, Secret and Post-Communion, and also the last gospel that we pray today will be a special last gospel from the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Also, catechism classes begin today. They take place after this Mass, so please do have your children go to the appointed classroom, see the sisters after Mass, and they will take your children to those classrooms for catechism Mass classes beginning today. The banns of marriage are announced for the first time for Bernadette Falaschi and Peter Kennedy. So anyone knowing a reason or an impediment why this couple should not be joined in holy matrimony, please contact one of the priests. Also forthcoming, reminder about our volleyball tournament. The annual volleyball tournament will take place next Sunday, that is September 28th, as I should say, this forthcoming Sunday, a week from today. It'll take place at 2 p.m. If you're interested in having a team together, please do call the school office for registration. Also, it is a sort of like a parish picnic for us, of course. Everyone is invited to come and spend the day with us and playing volleyball. Refreshments are there available. All the proceeds will benefit the junior-senior council. So please do make a day of it on September 28th, that is, next Sunday. The epistle appointed read for the Feast of St. Matthew is taken from the book of Ezekiel. As for the likeness of the faces of the four living creatures, there was the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side of all the four, and the face of an ox on the left side of all the four, and the face of an eagle over all the four. And their faces and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of everyone were joined, and two covered their bodies, and every one of them went straight forward. Whither the impulse of the Spirit was to go, thither they went, and they turned it not when they went. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like that of burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. This was the vision running to and fro in the midst of the living creatures, a bright fire and lightning going forth from the fire, and the living creatures ran in the lightning. On the Holy Gospel. There's a gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. At that time, Jesus saw a man sitting in the custom house named Matthew, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose up and followed him. And it came to pass, as he was sitting at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And the Pharisees, seeing it, said to his disciples, "Why doth your master eat with publicans and sinners?" But Jesus, hearing it, said, "They that are in health need not a physician, but they that are ill. Go then and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am come not to call the just, but sinners." And so the words of today's Holy Gospel. And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Words taken from the book of St. Luke and for the last gospel for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the town of Lazarus, we know, is where our Lord grew up. And there he spent most of his life with St. Joseph and his Blessed Mother. Heaven, as it were, came down to earth in the holy house of Nazareth. But just to the south of Nazareth was a little tiny town called Naim. And this is the town that is mentioned in the last gospel that we pray at Mass today. It is mentioned in the 7th chapter of St. Luke. But in the 6th chapter of St. Luke, just a chapter before, it records the calling of the 12 apostles. After he called the 12 apostles, our Lord said to them, it says in the gospel, "And coming down with them, he stood in a plain place in the company of his disciples, and at very great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast, both of Tyre and Sidon, who were come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And they that were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the multitude sought to touch him, because out from him went virtue and healed all." And then after our Lord preached to them, a centurion came. And we went to Capernaum. And the centurion came to him and asked that our Lord would cure his servant. And the servant, of course, whose words are immortalized in the Holy Mass, said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. These words which we pray every time we receive our Lord in Holy Communion. And then, of course, our Lord cured his servant because of the great faith of that centurion. And then our Lord went to Nain. And as he approached the great city, the gates of that city, a funeral procession was coming out. It was the funeral of a young man whose death was very untimely, not only because he was a young man, but because he was the only son of a widow. St. Luke says a great multitude of the city was with her. For there are fewer things more sad than a widow who has lost an only son. There can be little doubt that when our Lord saw this woman, he saw an image of his own mother. He no doubt looked into the future. He saw her holding him in her arms after they would take him down from the cross. He saw his own funeral procession to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He saw his mother walking to the tomb, her soul pierced with a sword of sorrow. What pain it caused him to see her suffer so much. But it had to be, because she was his mother. She was the mother of sorrows. She's the mother of Genesis, who would crush the head of Satan. And she is the woman of the apocalypse, who's clothed with the sun. But she's also the mother of Calvary. That is the mother of sorrows. And so our Lord has a special place in his heart for mothers. He has such a special place for children. He could not but help love mothers. And St. Luke says, being moved with mercy towards her, he said to her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the funeral pyre upon which the body was carried, and they that carried it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And then our Lord says in the Gospels, gave him to his mother. The Sacred Heart was moved with mercy, to the great shock and amazement of all present. The Gospel again relates to us and says, and there came a great fear on them all. They glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." But my dear faithful, our Lord performing this miracle, raising this young man back to life, is not the whole story. The fathers of the church saw in the weeping widow of Nain a figure, an image of Holy Mother the Church. Holy Mother the Church weeping over her children who are dead, her children who are dead in mortal sin. You may see the image of the Blessed Mother also, weeping over the death of children that were given to her on Calvary by the person of St. John. Of her, tears for them. Tears that move Christ to restore them back to life. Back to life by the means of the sacrament. That is why devotion to the Blessed Mother is so essential for our salvation. Because our Lord cannot resist the tears of his mother shed on behalf of a sinner. One word or tear from the Blessed Mother on behalf of man can move heaven and earth. Just as one short sentence from her at the wedding feast of Cana moved our Lord to perform his very first public miracle. And so we see Holy Mother the Church in the form of the widow of Nain and the Blessed Mother crying over her children who are dead in sin. But we also may see in this young man not the death of the mystical body of Christ, because that is an impossibility, but the seeming death, the apparent death of the mystical body of Christ with which we are faced today. To the natural eye, it would appear that the gates of hell have prevailed against the mystical body of Christ, which is the church. And she who held the physical body of her son in her arms now holds, as it were, the mystical body of her son in her arms. And the Blessed Mother weeps. And she prays for the church so afflicted in these terrible days of darkness and rebellion and disbelief and immorality. And Christ is moved by those tears. And because of those tears and prayers of the Blessed Mother, he will shorten the present chastisement, which must and has been inflicted, not for our destruction, but for our correction. And soon, our Lord will say to Holy Mother, the Church, which is as though he were a dead son, I say to thee, arise, and the mystical body shall rise again in great glory and power and holiness and might. This we know because the Church is indefectible. That is, she remains and will remain the institution of salvation founded by Christ until the end of the world. The indefectibility of the Church means the Church cannot perish, nor can it change. It means the Church will last until the end of time. And it means that the Church cannot change her teachings, she cannot change her constitution, nor can she change her way of worship. Men can, but the Church cannot. And that is why we hold fast. Because we know that no one has the power to change the essential teachings, the essential constitution, and the liturgy of the Church. Because the Church is founded by Christ. It is His mystical body. The Church has been built upon a rock. And thus it is infallible, it is unalterable, it is unchangeable. And the teachings of the popes down through the ages is what gives us stability and truth. That is why tradition and Catholicism are inseparable. That is why it is preposterous to suggest that the teachings of the Church should be updated for modern man. That is why the teachings of the Church cannot be changed. You can no more change the teachings of the Church than you can change God. And God is unchangeable. Christ promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail. He said, "Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." These promises and guarantees that the Church, Holy Mother of the Church, the mystical body of the Church, is imperishable and indestructible. As St. Augustine says, the Church will totter when her foundation totters. But what is her foundation? Her foundation is Christ. And how can Christ totter? As long as Christ does not totter, nor shall the Church totter in eternity. My dear faithful, so it was, as in the past, it shall be in the future. The one holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church. The invincible mystical body of Christ, though threatened by submersion within and assaults of the devil without, the Church will prevail. She will overcome the modern Caiaphases who regard the things of the world rather than the things of God and who have failed to recognize the time of their visitation. And so in these times of great difficulty, in these times of great confusion, great troubles, when the modernists have inflicted their teachings in the Church and continue to do so even today, publicly, we pray to the Blessed Mother, who is a widow, the widow of Nazareth. We pray, O Mother of God, we have recourse to thee on behalf of the mystical body of Christ. Never let it be said that our sins could prevent thee from fulfilling the great office of mercy, which is thine own, by which thou art the advocate of Holy Mother the Church. O Holy Mother of God, thou who for the benefit of the world brought down the fountain of mercy, deny not now thy mercy to us in our time of need. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.